Wellness Weekly. Discover the secrets to a balanced life. Your path to health.
Welcome back to the Voice of the Cape on this lovely Wednesday evening, Wellness Weekly. And this evening in our medical advice, we are talking with our guest, who is from ProfMed. She's a clinical executive at ProfMed. She is Justine Lacey. And we're talking about breast cancer. We're talking about mental health. And as you know, it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So important that you really, really try and, you know, look after yourself. Go for your mammograms as regularly as you need to. Don't try and miss them. And Justine, who was a nurse, she has all the experience, and she's sharing us. She's sharing that experience with us this evening. So I'd like to now move on to, you know, to treatment, and you know, treatments like chemotherapy, surgery, or radiation, it impacts a patient's mental state. Now, while you are in this complete, you know, emotional state, you're also having to deal with, you know, medical aid. And that's if you have medical aid, and sometimes if you don't have medical aid. Talk to us about, you know, what you've seen and what you've witnessed patients go through with regards to all of that in a whole.
Yes. So you get different types of cancer treatments. I mean, I can split them into three main areas, which are chemotherapy, surgery, and radiation, specifically when it comes to breast cancer. And these would all significantly affect a patient's mental state, but in different ways. Like, for instance, your chemotherapy, which we know causes a lot of fatigue, and possibly cognitive changes, as well as body image concerns. I think that the first thing that would come to mind would be the loss of hair, which is associated with chemotherapy. A lot of people, I think, can relate to that. Surgery is a big one. And this is obviously something that we really... One would not want to have to go through this. And that's why we place such a lot of emphasis on prevention and screening, so that one wouldn't have to get to the point where one needs surgery, particularly if one needs a mastectomy, which is a removal of the breast, and often comes with a it is accompanied by reconstructive procedures. So this really impacts self-image and identity, a lot of repercussions that I haven't mentioned. And then radiation, which really, again, causes a lot of physical and emotional fatigue. So these treatments, they challenge patients' sense of normalcy and independence. Mm-hmm. Making integrated psychological support essential to be able to cope and to be able to adhere to therapy. I mean, the last thing we want is somebody deciding that they don't want to continue with chemo because it's just too hard. One has to find the support to be able to cope and to have the resilience, easier said than done, but to have the resilience to keep on. To go on.
So true. And, you know, there's obviously also a role that the clinical professionals play during this time, especially when the person is going through active treatment, and also from a point of, you know, now you on the other side. So you used to be a nurse and now you are a clinical executive. And, you know, people are calling out to you and saying, we need help. Please guide us. Talk to us a bit about, you know, that. What have you been exposed to when it comes to that part of the call for help?
Yes. I think just, you know, working for a medical scheme, I know that a lot of our members really battle to understand the benefits. the oncology benefits that the scheme offers. Mm-hmm. So I think this could apply to all the schemes out there. I'm sure mm-hmm. they all experience the same problem as we do. And it really is very much about exercising patience and empathy mm-hmm. with members, because one has to remember that they're battling with to come to terms with a new diagnosis that is life-changing in mm-hmm. many, many respects. And it really is about having the empathy and patience to explain what benefits are available to them, not just from an oncology clinical treatment perspective, but also for their emotional well-being. Mm-hmm. So reminding them to have benefits for counseling. And those benefits are there to be utilized yes. when needed. It is really just simply reminding people that they have the benefit mm-hmm. because it's amazing how sometimes they don't realize that they can actually access that. So as a health professional, one is an essential part of the cancer care team. I mean, one's looking, whatever situation you find yourself in as a patient, you need to be treated holistically. So there always needs to be somebody that takes care of every aspect. Mm-hmm. Here we're talking about a cancer diagnosis, so it's not just the physical aspects, it's the emotional aspects as well. And mental health professionals will support the, provide support that addresses three aspects of the patient's well-being, and that during active treatment, and that would be emotional, cognitive, and social. Mm-hmm. So their support would address those three areas, which are essential to members' adherence to treatment. It's essential to members being able to cope and to get on top of their quality of life. So they would assess and manage distress. They would try and understand the level of distress and then match the support to that on a very individualized level, whether it's offering individual family counseling, facilitating peer support, or working closely with the oncology team to mm-hmm. integrate emotional care into the treatment plan, because it's got to be part of the treatment plan. Mm-hmm. And again, I'll emphasize, and forgive me for the repetition, mm-hmm. but it's about developing the coping strategies, getting and assisting patients to maintain that resilience, because you have to have a degree of resilience when you are on this type of journey, mm-hmm. and then preserving quality of life.
Absolutely.
And during the pink room that we did recently, we did have one of our member survivors part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was so important to emphasize to our audience that really, and I think I said this at the beginning of the interview, but it really, all the focus is on the patient. But what about the people around them that are expected to support the patient?
Right.
So, and I learned this with nursing. It's not just about the patient, it's also about the people around that patient. They need just as much support to be able to give the support to the person who actually has the diagnosis, because it affects everybody around them, whether it's a work colleague, a close friend, or a family member. And often those who are expected to support the patient will step back. And it's not because they don't want to support, because they don't know how. They don't know what to say or what to do. And they're also battling to come to terms with the mm-hmm. diagnosis that the patient has. So it really, in that way, family counseling could really help a lot, because it would guide those people around that patient to be able to help them cope better and give the support.
Mm-hmm. So, we're talking about support, we're talking about medical aid and But we also need to talk about the kind of support services that are available that patients might not know of. And as you've mentioned, you know, I also want you just to focus on the fact that there are support groups. And if you know of any, please let us know. But also talk to us about how important it is for counseling, for therapy, support groups, for the family as well as the patient.
Yes. So, yeah, I mean, there are all sorts of different kinds of support services, you know, from counseling to therapy, and then the support groups that we've touched on a little bit already. Lots that patients and families, loved ones can investigate. The individual counseling and psychotherapy, and then there's family or couples therapy. This all strengthens communication and, again, guides in creating coping mechanisms within the supporting system that can be utilized. Mm-hmm. Peer support groups will provide that connection and shared experience.
Mm-hmm.
Your psycho-oncology programs will offer kind of a more specialized, integrated support and care. And then you've got complementary services such as mindfulness, art therapy, exercise programs, and these often run alongside educational resources and patient navigation, which helps families feel informed, supported, and resilient through the cancer journey. But in addition to all of that, you've got a number of organizations and initiatives that provide accessible mental health resources to the public at large, and this often helps patients in under-reserved communities, mm-hmm. because they're often left without the access that patients that have access to private care can get. So cancer's a big one. Standing for Cancer Association of South Africa. They've got support groups. They've got online resources. They've got a contact number that one can phone for emotional support.
Mm-hmm.
One is actually spoiled for choice when it comes to the number of support groups. I mean, we've also got community-based and mobile support where vehicle-based services will actually go to underserved communities and run preventative and screening services as well as mental health care to those populations. And then I cannot go without saying that that SADC is a very big one. It's the South African Depression and Anxiety Group. They've often been interviewed as well. They've got a 24-hour line where they will they offer emotional support around the clock. All you need to do is pick up the phone, and they actually support rural communities in rural areas as well that have limited mental health services. So Nadia, if I can just, I don't mean to be too long-winded, but these organizations really do play a crucial role,
mm-hmm.
In ensuring that cancer patients in under-reserved communities receive the mental health support they need. And they do this by providing accessible services, advocating for policy change, which is a big thing, and fostering community-based support.
Mm-hmm.
So they really, like I say, they are essential,
mm-hmm.
to advancing support when one comes to cancer-related diagnoses.
Yeah. The Voice of the Cape, and of course, if you have any questions for Justine Lacey, she's a clinical executive at ProfMed, and you can ask, send us your questions on 082-9913-913. Ooh.